This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
We are back, hour two of the Home Improvement Show. Rich Orris, your host here. Glad to welcome in the 97.1 FM crowd with us here today. And again, a reminder, one phone number for everybody. You can find me, 314-436-7900. Or you could do from far away, 800-925-1120. We've got some phones starting to kick here as they get them in gear. That is awesome. So we've got a lot that we've talked about so far today. A lot of great questions, a lot of really cool things going on. And we talked a little bit about some newer kind of older intercom systems, updating. What are some of the newer, home audio, different things you could do, intercom systems, music systems, things like that. We talked about a 125-year-old house with 13-inch thick walls. What's a good way to insulate, ventilate, get them to kind of function a little bit better with the temperature and everything else? I was in looking at a really old home that was gutted, and they're looking at, turning a two-family into a one-family, and the whole thing's gutted. And, it was a particularly warm day, but those walls, hold that cold so well, that full masonry. I want to tell you, it was probably 20 degrees cooler inside that house with it gutted than it was outside when you walked in and stepped outside. So definitely, some interesting stuff on how those old houses with the concrete, masonry, block, brick, plaster, how they can conduct the temperature and, get all that in there. And, something we've stepped into a lot in conversations with people, what we see very, very often is, the closets in these, older homes like that. You jam pack these closets full of stuff, you shut the door, and you have no airflow, you have no circulation, you have a wall that's staying very, very cold for a very long time. It's just basically, the plaster's bubbling, there's issues inside, you get maybe a little bit of mold on the surface and stuff inside, condensation happening, And really, it's like, yeah, if you think about it, you know, take everything out of there and leave the door open and make it like the rest of the room, and it breathes and functions, you know, a lot better, you know, on not having those issues happen and everything. So there's a lot that can be, you know, done and said, you know, with that. And then, of course, we talked about some ductwork cleaning. When should you do it? Should you do it? You know, good idea after you just had a project completed and, you know, had a lot of dust kicking up and stuff like that. But then again, you know, kind of the theory and kind of my theory is, you know, if it's something that you can have checked, you know, and look in there, I don't know that, you know, there's just a given date that you say, you know what, have your ductwork clean every 5 years and you're going to be good. Because, you know, if you have six kids and they're in and out a lot and you have carpeting throughout your house and you use a lot of products that, you know, create dust and things like that, you're going to have a lot more dust and things happening. If you burn a lot of candles, you'll get more of the soot and the things, you know, in the air from all of that. So you can, you know, need that ductwork cleaning a lot sooner than maybe someone that's, you know, two people, retired, don't get out as much. Maybe all the floors are hard wood, so there's a lot less dust getting kicked around, you know, all of that. I mean, just the everything in your home that creates dust by people, by toilet paper, the paper towels that you use, just all the different stuff and how that runs through your house. And then, of course, the furnace filter that you use, you know, how well does it work, all of that. There's a lot that plays into that ductwork cleaning, how often, all of that. So definitely want to pay attention to that. And, you know, earlier in the week, you know, I was talking about some different visits that I had, and we had a conversation about lowering a basement floor. Well, I had another one with a conversation about, you know, is there moisture underneath my basement floor? You know, this particular person, they built all these kind of cabinets, like plywood, you know, made out of plywood, made out of wood, you know, cabinets that just like open shelves, things like that, that were in the basement on the concrete floor, just sitting on the concrete. And, you know, he's like, well, I'm just worried that, you know, I built all this and they're really awesome, but, you know, is there going to be moisture from the floor that affects that? We kind of talked about, yeah, you can, you know, build something to lift them up and create a little bit of airspace too. But I also said, you know, a good test to do is to, you know, take a piece of plastic, like cut a piece of clear plastic, you know, maybe 16 inches by 16 inches, something like that, and just tape that. You can like duct tape that right to your floor, just straight down on there, get it nice and tight, duct tape it down to kind of air seal it, and then just leave it there, you know, a day or 2 days or 3 days, and see if you start to see moisture, you know, droplets on that plastic. Does it, you know, start to darken? Do you actually see moisture? It will kind of show you that, like, yeah, there's probably more moisture vapor coming through that concrete, you know, that than you think or than you know. And that would kind of help tell you, you know, kind of what you're up against as far as, you know, if you see absolutely nothing, probably a lot less moisture and just not, you know, nearly as much to worry or think about in that instance. But definitely, you know, there's a lot of different little tricks and trades and different things that, you know, we can help out with all of that. So for everybody out there, any questions you have about your home, hopefully maybe some of you have switched over from KMOX because of the Cardinals and you're here with us. And, you know, joining the 97.1 crowd, let's get some of that group into the conversation too. We'd love to hear from you. 314-436-7900. Anything you got going on. We're going to go ahead and take our first break here, and we'll have plenty more to come with more calls right after this.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Everybody, we're back. Rick Norris here, Home Improvement Show. Got plenty of time, plenty of segments left for your questions. Feel free to give me a call, 314-436-7900. And, you know, we are in St. Louis, so, you know, like they say, stick around. If you don't like the weather, it's going to change. So, you know, thinking about the time of year and what's going on and, you know, like right now today, I actually, you know, watching the weather last night, they said that today would be the first typical February weather day with temperature that we've pretty much had. We've been in the extremes of either extreme cold or, you know, really warmer than normal. And we haven't really had a lot of typical normal February kind of weather temperature days. And looking at the next couple days, like they were talking 70 something, possibly like 80 degrees, I think they said, by like, you know, Monday or Tuesday or something like that. Wow. It's just the way these things change and fluctuate. It's pretty amazing what we go through and how it affects our houses and the things, you know, with them as far as heating and cooling. And, you know, I definitely noticed that we have definitely been in some pretty, you know, extreme cold through, you know, end of January, you know, early February, just by way of my Spire bill, you know, the gas bill, being like 25% more in, you know, in February than it was in January, which is usually, you know, kind of the opposite. It's usually fluctuating the other way and way colder earlier. But, you know, that's just showing all that change. So, yeah, stick around. It's going to be different and it's going to change. And, you know, coming up in March, we've got a lot of things. So, think, you know, next week when I'm back, it will be March already. You know, this year is flying by. And so thinking of like some of the things coming up and what should we, you know, be doing for our houses and what should we, you know, maintenance and checking up on and stuff. Well, you know, in a couple weeks, we're going to have, you know, about 3 weeks, we're going to have daylight savings time. We're going to be changing our clocks already, you know, second Sunday in March. So that's going to be changing, you know, what we do and how we do it and everything else. I'm actually definitely looking forward to that for sure. And, you know, hopefully it'll give us a chance to kind of get out and maybe, you know, clean up the garage from the whole winter thing, you know, get everything straightened up, dispose of things that kind of maybe we're out there that shouldn't have been all winter long, you know, paint thinners, paints, pesticides, stuff like that, you know, good cleaning time for like refrigerators, stuff like that, you know, making sure everything's good. But think about, you know, March, April coming up, we need to start thinking about water. We need to start thinking about rain. And what happens, so, you know, test your sump pump, you know, make sure it's working reliable. We're going to have some heavy rains coming and a lot of moisture and stuff coming in. And if you think about it, the average life of a sump pump is the actual pump itself is 7 years is the average. So, you know, that means some of them might last a little bit, but some of them go out kind of quick. And it's easy to lose track and think, oh, yeah, 7 years is quite a while. And, you know, maybe you haven't done anything with it in 10 years and you think it was 4 years ago, you know, that you did. But so think about checking into that stuff, looking at the dates on them, seeing how old they are. You know, it's good preventive maintenance to say, you know what? Yeah, this thing's getting old. Let's just go ahead and, do some preventive maintenance, replace that sump pump, maybe get a battery backup system, you know, stuff like that for your sump pump before you have that issue. You know, do it preventatively. That way you're not finding out with water all over the basement that, you know, the pump stopped working and you know, we got a lot of rain and everything. So, and lawn care is going to be coming up. So think about, you know, servicing that lawn equipment, you know, changing oils, sharpening blades, getting things ready for that season, for sure. And then outside, you know, more gutters, just kind of more water. So think about like your gutters, your downspouts, keeping things clean all the way down to the ground. Think about window wells, you know, basement stairs, the drains at the bottom, all of that, anywhere that, you know, water goes. And when you're looking at that gutter system, you know, if you've had your gutters put underground, like a lot of us had, I mean, Mosby does a lot of that type of work too, as far as, you know, getting those pipes away from the foundation, getting that water running away. Well, now your gutter cleaning and your downspout cleaning actually goes as far as that pipe. You want to get to the end of that pipe, you know, take that pop-up emitter off, make sure it's cleaned out, make sure everything's flowing. So you want to take that definitely, you know, all the way out. And then, you know, think about the outdoor stuff that's going to be coming up, your patios, your decks, you know, maybe inspect the deck, look for rotted stuff, look around and really, you know, just check everything out, make sure everything, there's no rust on any of the metal stuff. There's, you know, all the wood's looking good. Get underneath it, check for everything, poke, you know, flathead screwdriver in the bottom of the post, make sure they're still solid where they're down on your concrete piers and stuff like that. And just do a great inspection, you know, of all of that for sure. And that can really, really help out and, you know, just make sure you're prepared for the things to come. So we've got a lot, you know, going on and coming up here with spring. Start to think about and start to take care of it and start to think about what you have going on today. What, you know, any questions you have about your house, anything that you want to know, maintenance, any projects you're working on, if you're just interested or curious about something, feel free to jump in and join the conversation. Get your questions out. 314-436-7900. Phone lines are wide open right now, so we can definitely get in and get that in for you right here today. We've got quite a bit of time left for sure through all of that. So definitely wanted to, you know, we talked a lot about the ductwork cleaning, all of that stuff. Well, you know, thinking about furnace filters, thinking about that air filter, you know, and what you need to do with that. There's definitely some myths and some information out there that's, you know, just kind of something to think about when you're looking at, you know, the furnace filter, the type you use, you know, should you use one that get one that you can clean? Should you do, you know, all that stuff? The biggest myth really is just in as far as replacing those filters, you know, how often, you know, should you do it every 30 days, every, you know, 3 months, every, there's all this different stuff. And when you search online, you know, you'll find a lot of varying, you know, different information. But really the biggest thing that you could do is just, you know, look at it, check it, because the best thing to do is to change the filter when it's dirty. So, you know, if you just kind of look at the filter, maybe set something up, you know, set up a task in your phone that reminds you, like an appointment once a month, go downstairs, check that furnace filter. Because if you're doing it, you know, say you're doing it every 3 months or you're doing it every 6 months and it's always dirty when you go down there to do it, that means maybe it would have been a good idea to do it, you know, 30 days sooner if you would have seen it and it was dirty. So that's really about the biggest one out there. Another one, really another kind of myth out there that's, you know, more of a theory too, is, you know, when you look at getting these really, really high you know, rated filters that they will really filter anything. And with, you know, the past 5 years and so with COVID and everything, a lot of people have been going to like getting the highest rated, you know, MERV rated filters that they can in order to catch. They want to catch everything that they can. Well, sometimes going too high, and so when I do mine, I'm kind of in the middle. You know, I don't want to get like the thinnest, you know, lets everything through, doesn't really trap dust very well. But I don't go to the absolute top highest either, because that can actually put a strain, you know, on the air trying to get through and put a strain on that furnace, on that blower motor and everything. So that's not always, you know, the best way to go either. So I kind of hit down the middle there in getting, you know, good, better, best. Go down the middle with good, and it won't restrain your system and all that, and it'll still catch things really well. And, you know, so you don't necessarily need or want to go all the way to that highest, you know, filter there that just air doesn't get through, you know, as well. So think about that, because there's a lot of different things, you know, with the furnaces. And then really the biggest thing I always recommend everybody is just have your stuff checked out, maintained every year, your furnace before winter, your AC. So again, coming up, you're going to want to get that AC, you know, inspected and checked out and make sure everything's working and good. You know, again, it's a preventative thing to make sure before. You don't want to be in that emergency when it breaks down and everything. So, hey, we're going to take a break. We got another half a show left to go here. Got plenty of time for everybody. Feel free to give us a call, 314-436-7900. We're going to get into our middle hour break here, and we will be back right after these messages. All right, we are back. Rich Ornis here, Home Improvement Show, and boy, we're having a really great time today. Let's see if we can get somebody in on this conversation. Anything you have going on around your house, feel free right now. Give me a call. Phone lines are open, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Number where you can find me. And, you know, so I've got something I've been wanting to kind of talk about here. That very, very interesting to me, and you would definitely need, you know, a specific lifestyle to be able to kind of do this or live like this. And I'd be curious of what, you know, a lot of people out there maybe think or feel, or do they, you know, do you think that you'd be able to do this? But, you know, if you haven't heard about this car-free living, it's a place that they developed and building in Arizona. And it's basically a community of like apartment, you know, buildings and stuff that is car-free community. So no one there owns a car. The cars aren't allowed in. It's definitely a lot different than what most apartment building, you know, complexes, you know, kind of stage as and look like and how they're set up. And that's basically because more than 50% of the property, you know, is parking when you have apartment complexes and stuff like that. So much of that property, you know, is just there for parking. So instead of having 55% of their property as being parking, they have it as public spaces. They've got, you know, gathering areas and restaurants and grocery stores and parks and, you know, all types of, you know, different things. So it's basically mimics some design and architecture, you know, of like some European, you know, kind of metropolitan areas that they have. And so basically there's no asphalt, you know, whatsoever. And so it can definitely help with, you know, the heat. It can help with, you know, you don't have all the heat radiant off of like asphalt parking lots and, you know, all that stuff. And there's basically no private vehicles, you know, allowed in here. So it can help with the ozone, you know, pollution and all that stuff, too. So, you know, that's kind of a couple of the benefits of that. And, of course, in Arizona, you know, the heat's going to matter because it's going to get, you know, really, really hot. So people are like thinking, you know, when I first heard about it too, I'm thinking, well, how do you get around? How do you, you know, who wants to walk somewhere when it's 115 degrees to get your groceries or something? So it is a great idea that, like, it's not as hot, you know, because of how they have this built and not having the paving and everything. But there's also, you know, a lot of other things that they're doing. So, you know, kind of how it works is there's a few, you know, pay to park visitor spots that they'll have for people coming to, you know, visit with people or whatever. You kind of park on the outskirts, I guess, and walk in. And they have all sorts of other, like, you know, a light rail system that they can, you know, walk to and take a platform to get to the light rail system. They have bikes and they have, you know, electronic, you know, bikes, e-bikes that you can use, scooters. So there's like over 100 of those scooters there that, you know, you can use the electric scooters. There's like some ride share stuff. So they get a discount, like 15% off like Lyft rides. So there's designated, you know, pickup and drop off areas and all of that, you know, of where you can go to if you do need to go somewhere. Because, you know, think about it. We're like a car community. Now, my profession, what I'm doing, I mean, there would be literally no way I could do that because I'm constantly running, going to different houses every day. And but if you did, you know, if you work from home, if everything's online, if you, you know, I could see this, you know, working out really, really well for people. And then you just, you know, take a lift or do something like that. They also have, you know, they're talking about having, you know, electric cars that you could rent by the hour or by the day. So if you do, you know, you're like, okay, well, we're going to take a trip and we want to go here or there, then you can just rent a car, you know, for that time. So there's, you know, a lot of cool things like that happening. They're also, you know, talking about they're developing where they'll have, you know, like food truck nights and all this stuff. So there's area for all of this stuff to happen too, a lot of it, because, you know, you don't have all that parking again. So kind of like a urban market, you know, with the grocery store, and they'll have the food trucks and different things like that. So there's, you know, all these different ways. So it's, you know, think about a very, very different way of living, you know. It's definitely a great conversation and something to think about, because there's a lot of, you know, people now working remotely, things like that, that, you know, you can do what you need and you don't really have to, you know, have a car and do all that if you have access to everything. And so, and basically there's like a waiting list. There's like, you know, I think 600 people that have paid the deposits to get a place there and everything, you know, as they're building it. And they said it ranges from like $1,500 a month for a studio to like $3,000 a month for like a three bedroom. So, you know, it's rent has gone up a lot, you know, remodeling, construction, everything, you know, just in general, everything has gone up a lot for us. So, I mean, that for what it is, that doesn't sound too far out of place for what rents and things have been doing, you know, here lately. So it's a very interesting concept, and different way to live. So, you know, definitely interested if anybody has any thoughts or ideas about that. If you have any questions, have anything going on around your house, I'm right here for you. Phone lines are wide open. 314-436. Right, we are back. Rich Orris here, Home Improvement Show, and Boy, we're having a really great time today. Let's see if we can get somebody in on this conversation. Anything you have going on around your house, feel free right now. Give me a call. Phone lines are open, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Number where you can find me. And, you know, so I've got something I've been wanting to kind of talk about here. That it's very, very interesting to me, and you would definitely need, you know, a specific lifestyle to be able to kind of do this or live like this. And I'd be curious of what, you know, a lot of people out there maybe think or feel, or do you think that you'd be able to do this? But, you know, if you haven't heard about this car-free living, it's a place that they developed and building in Arizona. And it's basically a community of like apartment, buildings and stuff that is car-free community. So no one there owns a car. The cars aren't allowed in. It's definitely a lot different than what most apartment building, complexes, kind of stage as and look like and how they're set up. And that's basically because more than 50% of the property, is parking when you have apartment complexes and stuff like that. So much of that property, is just there for parking. So instead of having 55% of their property as being parking, they have it as public spaces. They've got, gathering areas and restaurants and grocery stores and parks and, all types of, different things. So it's basically mimics some design and architecture, of like some European, kind of metropolitan areas that they have. And so basically there's no asphalt, whatsoever. And so it can definitely help with, the heat. It can help with, you don't have all the heat radiant off of like asphalt parking lots and, all that stuff. And there's basically no private vehicles, allowed in here. So it can help with the ozone, pollution and all that stuff too. So, that's kind of a couple of the benefits of that. And of course in Arizona, the heat's going to matter because it's going to get, really, really hot. So people are like thinking, when I first heard about it too, I'm thinking, well, how do you get around? How do you, who wants to walk somewhere when it's 115 degrees to get your groceries or something? So it is a great idea that like it's not as hot, because of how they have this built and not having the paving and everything. But there's also, a lot of other things that they're doing. So kind of how it works is there's a few, pay to park visitor spots that they'll have for people coming to, visit with people or whatever. You kind of park on the outskirts, I guess, and walk in. And they have all sorts of other, like, a light rail system that they can, walk to and take a platform to get to the light rail system. They have bikes and they have, electronic, bikes, e-bikes that you can use, scooters. So there's like over 100 of those scooters there that, you can use the electric scooters. There's like some ride share stuff. So they get a discount, like 15% off like Lyft rides. So there's designated, pickup and drop off areas and all of that. Of where you can go to if you do need to go somewhere, because, think about it. We're like a car community. Now, my profession, what I'm doing, I mean, there would be literally no way I could do that because I'm constantly running, going to different houses every day. But if you did, if you work from home, if everything's online, if you, I could see this working out really, really well for people. And then you just, take a lift or do something like that. They also have, you know, they're talking about having, you know, electric cars that you could rent by the hour or by the day. So if you do, you know, you're like, okay, well, we're going to take a trip and we want to go here or there, then you can just rent a car, you know, for that time. So there's, you know, a lot of cool things like that happening. They're also, you know, talking about they're developing where they'll have, you know, like food truck nights and all this stuff. So there's area for all of this stuff to happen too. A lot of it because, you know, you don't have all that parking again. So kind of like a urban market, you know, with the grocery store, and they'll have the food trucks and different things like that. So there's, you know, all these different ways. So it's, you know, think about a very, very different way of living. You know, it's definitely a great conversation and something to think about, because there's a lot of, you know, people now working remotely, things like that, that, you know, you can do what you need and you don't really have to, you know, have a car and do all that if you have access to everything. And so, and basically there's like a waiting list. There's like, you know, I think 600 people that have paid the deposits to get a place there and everything, you know, as they're building it. And they said it ranges from like $1,500 a month for a studio to like $3,000 a month for like a 3-bedroom. So, it's rent has gone up a lot, you know, remodeling, construction, everything, you know, just in general, everything has gone up a lot for us. So, I mean, that for what it is, that doesn't sound too far out of place for what rents and things have been doing, you know, here lately. So it's a very interesting concept and different way to live. So, you know, definitely interested if anybody has any thoughts or ideas about that. If you have any questions, have anything going on around your house, I'm right here for you. Phone lines are wide open, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. We can get you in on that. I'd be very curious if anybody, you know, thinks that would be something that they would absolutely love, because I got to think that, like, the way things are changing and everything happening right now, you know, we've talked in the past episodes about like 3D printed houses with concrete and stuff, and, you know, more sustainable and going up quicker and, you know, easier to do, perform a lot of this stuff, and it's more sustainable and it, you know, it's stronger and all of that. So imagine like one or two people, you know, building all the walls and everything of a house in like a day or two, you know, is quite amazing. But this is where things are going. This is where things are headed with all of everything that we're doing. So we definitely have to start to be open and think about, you know, what could really work for us and how could we do it? Because, you know, it's just a great thing to do. And in the meanwhile, you can, you know, help save the ozone and all this other stuff as it's happening. So we need to think about that with, you know, our electric, now that we're going to more, you know, solar power, wind power, you know, things like that. We have to be open, you know, to some of these alternatives. Especially as we start to use up sources, we're going to need, you know, new sources. So let's, you know, figure this stuff out and know it and understand it. And so, you know, working towards not having gas in a house anymore, better ways to get electricity, electric cars, you know, all the different things. It definitely, you know, you look at it and you think, well, it's like the wave of the future, but it's a necessity that is coming upon us that, you know, we're going to need to be a part of. So it's definitely something that I would say, start to consider, you know, all of those options for yourself and think about, you know, the tankless water heaters, the solar panels, the different things. What can you do, and how can you help out? How can you use less water so that we don't need to make, you know, and build more water plants and you know, doing all of that? If we can conserve and you know, do things better, then it just makes it better later, you know, for the future and everything else. So it's definitely something we got to know, got to understand, and got to be open to doing and performing. So, again, any questions? We got one more segment coming up. We're going to get into a break here, but anything you got going on in the last segment, we'll have plenty of time for you. 314-436-7900. We'll be back right after these messages. All right, we are back. Last segment. We do have time. If you have a comment or a question, we can get you in if you get right away. 314-436-7900. We did get a call during the break that was just kind of basically called in to say, you know what, he agreed with everything I was talking about, you know, in the last segment about, you know, thinking about adapting, thinking about change, think about different ways, you know, of doing things. It's definitely, you know, it is important, and it does make sense, and we do need to adapt and do all that. And, you know, when we look at houses, that's something that, you know, myself and my team at Mosby that we think about all the time, that, you know, looking at things as a team gets you to think in different aspects and directions and theories and all of that, because it's not just, you know, one person kind of going, yep, I agree with all this stuff. You actually get, you know, confliction. You get people saying, yeah, but what about this, or what about that, or maybe this costs less, or maybe that could be done this way, or this has less maintenance. So, you know, mixing things up, and when you think about it, in designing, you know, designing things universally, you know, there's this kind of newer thought process, you know, and I've seen so many different designs and things thought up. And when you're trying to design, you know, for the masses, it's really hard to do, because the masses, everyone's different. I mean, we all know this, right? So, you know, I remember a story few years ago about, you know, new building, and how they're, when they build new houses, they're starting to put these, you know, areas in the laundry room for like dogs, that millennials, they all have dogs, they love their dogs, you know, and so they're putting this into the laundry rooms now. Well, but not still, again, some people have no pets, some people have cats, we have a couple cats, we have, you know, some people love birds. I mean, it's so hard to design, because you're like, oh yeah, this group of people, they just really love dogs. Well, not everybody's going to want to use that. So thinking about the person, thinking about how you're going to use it and what you're going to do. You know, I remember a few years ago having a bathroom that was designed, and, you know, the designer kept saying, we should move this bathroom wall to create space, and we should make this bathroom wider so that, you know, you could turn around with a wheelchair and all this different stuff. Well, basically the therapist that was helping the person with their unique condition basically came out and said, don't move that wall, because we need to put a grab bar on that wall that helps them, you know, get on and off the toilet and like this, and this is how they're going to be able to work it. So, you know, moving the wall might be great for a lot of people to get some space for a wheelchair and in and out of the shower, but it's not going to help this person do what they want. And we ended up with a bathroom where we didn't move the wall, and it worked out well, you know, for that person's needs right then. So it is difficult, but when you think about, you know, universal design, you're trying to think in a way that basically, you know, makes it work well for a lot of different people. But then you're also looking at, you know, specific people too, where, you know, sometimes like literally raising the dishwasher, where it's a higher countertop, and the dishwasher is actually higher than the rest of the 3-foot countertops, because if you're tall, it's hard to load and unload the dishwasher. And if you're going to, you know, if you're committed and you're going to be in your house for a very, very long time, this may be a great thing for a tall family. You know, so universal design doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for 100% of everybody, but you try and keep, you know, those things in mind, and you try and keep the future in mind of, like, you know, I'm remodeling and I'm 40 years old. Well, how long are you going to be here? Because while we're doing this outside work, we should think about trying to get, you know, a way in and out of the house that has less steps or no steps, you know, because you definitely don't need that when you're 40. But you know what? You have a car accident and you're 41 and something happens, it might help you when you're 41, or you might definitely need it when you're 60 or 70 or 80. So, you know, thinking about all these different things, kind of determining layouts and ease of use and, you know, all of that is just really such a good thing to kind of, when you go through, you know, think outside the box. If you're going to do a kitchen remodel or things like that, you know, think about all the different things. Think about, you know, colors and contrast. You know, think about integrating technology, because it's here, it's coming. There's better things coming. You know, go ahead and try and figure some of that stuff out. All types of, you know, future adaptations of, you know, you can design a kitchen and you can have a regular sink-based looking cabinet that literally pulls out and turns into a cabinet that you can get to the sink with a wheelchair later on. You know, so you can adapt all these things into your projects and you know, think of that, because, you know, I've had a lot of people are like, oh, that's too much lighting. I don't need a lot of lighting. I don't need all those can lights. I don't need all this. Well, we can put them on dimmers for now. And once you turn 50 or above, you're probably going to want all that lighting. And you're going to be like, turn the dimmer all the way up, because now I need it. So, you know, think about those staying around and those future needs and how you make your home and everything you do, you know, better and work for guests and everybody as much as possible is just a really, really cool, you know, wonderful thing to do, and something we're doing here at Mosby every day as we figure and design this stuff. So, hey, we're good. We're out of time. I had a blast. I will look forward to talking to everybody next week. All right, we are back. Last segment. We do have time. If you have a comment or a question, we can get you in if you get right away. 314-436-7900. We did get a call during the break that was just kind of basically called in to say, you know what, he agreed with everything I was talking about, you know, in the last segment about, you know, thinking about adapting, thinking about change, think about different ways, you know, of doing things. It's definitely, you know, it is important, and it does make sense, and we do need to adapt and do all that. And, you know, when we look at houses, that's something that, you know, myself and my team at Mosby that we think about all the time, that, you know, looking at things as a team gets you to think in different aspects and directions and theories and all of that, because it's not just, you know, one person kind of going, yep, I agree with all this stuff. You actually get, you know, confliction. You get people saying, yeah, but what about this, or what about that, or maybe this costs less, or maybe that could be done this way, or this has less maintenance. So, you know, mixing things up. And when you think about it, in designing, you know, designing things universally, you know, there's this kind of newer thought process, you know, and I've seen so many different designs and things thought up. And when you're trying to design, you know, for the masses, it's really hard to do, because the masses, everyone's different. I mean, we all know this, right? So, you know, I remember a story few years ago about, you know, new building and how they're, when they build new houses, they're starting to put these, you know, areas in the laundry room for like dogs that millennials, they all have dogs. They love their dogs, you know, and so they're putting this into the laundry rooms now. Well, but not still again, some people have no pets. Some people have cats. We have a couple cats. We have, you know, some people love birds. I mean, it's so hard to design because you're like, oh yeah, this group of people, they just really love dogs. Well, not everybody's going to want to use that. So thinking about the person, thinking about how you're going to use it and what you're going to do. You know, I remember a few years ago having a bathroom that was designed and, you know, the designer kept saying, we should move this bathroom wall to create space and we should make this bathroom wider so that, you know, you could turn around with a wheelchair and all this different stuff. Well, basically, the therapist that was helping the person with their unique condition basically came out and said, don't move that wall because we need to put a grab bar on that wall that helps them, you know, get on and off the toilet and like this. And this is how they're going to be able to work it. So, you know, moving the wall might be great for a lot of people to get some space for a wheelchair and in and out of the shower, but it's not going to help this person do what they want. And we ended up with a bathroom where we didn't move the wall and it worked out well, you know, for that person's needs right then. So it is difficult, but when you think about, you know, universal design, you're trying to think in a way that basically, you know, makes it work well for a lot of different people. But then you're also looking at, you know, specific people too, where, you know, sometimes like literally raising the dishwasher where it's a higher countertop and the dishwasher is actually higher than the rest of the 3 foot countertops. Because if you're tall, it's hard to load and unload the dishwasher. And if you're going to, you know, if you're committed and you're going to be in your house for a very, very long time, this may be a great thing for a tall family, you know. So universal design doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for 100% of everybody, but you try and keep, you know, those things in mind and you try and keep the future in mind of like, you know, I'm remodeling and I'm 40 years old. Well, how long are you going to be here? Because while we're doing this outside work, we should think about trying to get, you know, a way in and out of the house that has less steps or no steps, you know, because you definitely don't need that when you're 40. But you know what? You have a car accident and you're 41 and something happens, it might help you when you're 41, or you might definitely need it when you're 60 or 70 or 80. So, you know, thinking about all these different things, kind of determining layouts and ease of use and, you know, all of that is just really such a good thing to kind of, when you go through, you know, think outside the box. If you're going to do a kitchen remodel or things like that, you know, think about all the different things. Think about, you know, colors and contrast. You know, think about integrating technology because it's here. It's coming. There's better things coming. You know, go ahead and try and figure some of that stuff out. All types of, you know, future adaptations of, you know, you can design a kitchen and you can have a regular sink-based looking cabinet that literally pulls out and turns into a cabinet that you can get to the sink with a wheelchair later on, you know, so you can adapt all these things into your projects and, you know, think of that because, you know, I've had a lot of people are like, oh, that's too much lighting. I don't need a lot of lighting. I don't need all those can lights. I don't need all this. Well, we can put them on dimmers for now. And once you turn 50 or above, you're probably going to want all that lighting. And you're going to be like, turn the dimmer all the way up because now I need it. So, you know, think about those staying around and those future needs and how you make your home and everything you do, you know, better and work for guest and everybody as much as possible is just a really, really cool, you know, wonderful thing to do, and something we're doing here at Mosby every day as we figure and design this stuff. So, hey, we're good. We're out of time. I had a blast. I will look forward to talking to everybody next week.